This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the students on the Al-Kawthar Mobile Ilm Back to Basics course. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, in this audio we begin the text 33 Lessons for Every Muslim. And this audio summarizes Lessons 1, 2 and 3 insha'Allah. The author begins Lesson 1, the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Brothers and sisters, the lessons we take out from Lesson 1 and 2, that the price of paradise is La ilaha illallah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, upon the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, man kana akhir kalamihi la ilaha illallah wajabat lahul jannah. Rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawood. Whoever his last words are la ilaha illallah, then jannah is an obligation upon him. He most certainly will enter into paradise. We also find, upon the authority of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he states, I heard the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, أفضل الذكر, the best dhikr, the best statements you could mention with your tongue, O brother, O sister, is what? La ilaha illallah. It is La ilaha illallah. We find, brothers and sisters, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that hadith Qudsi stating that Allah said, Ya ibn Adam, لو أديتني بقراب الأرض خطايا. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O the son of Adam, O the daughter of Adam, if you came to me with the earth in comparison of what? Of sin. ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. And then you met with me and you did not commit any shirk with me. You did not associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partners. لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا. I would come with the similar in terms of forgiveness for you. You came with the earth full of sin, but without any shirk. Without any shirk. You were upon Tawheed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with that amount in forgiveness. It is thamanul jannah. It is the price of paradise. Brothers and sisters, you find our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, creation would be gathered. فَيَنْشُرْ عَلَيْهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ سِجِلَّ. With regards to an individual, with regards to an ummati, 99 scrolls would be open of his, full of sin, subhanAllah, full of oppression and wrong. And the distance of those scrolls up to the horizon. And so this man would be despondent. Allah would ask him, do you deny any of this? يقول, لا يا رب. No, not at all. I acknowledge these are my scrolls. فيقول, ألك عذر أو حسنة. Do you have any excuse? Do you have any good deeds? فيقول, لا يا رب. No, my رب, I don't. فيقول, بلى إن لك عندي حسنات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to him, no, you do have with me some good deeds. You do have some good deeds. وَإِنَّهُ لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ عَلَيْكَ. And there is absolutely no oppression upon you on this day. فَتُخْرَجُ لَهُ بِطَاقَةٍ. And like a card would be brought of this man's. فيها, in it, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. In it, where his statements, where this man used to say, I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah, and Muhammad is his slave and his Rasul. فيقول, يا رب, ما هذه البطاقة مع هذه السجلات. The man would say, يا رب, what is this card in comparison to all of those scrolls? Allah would say, إِنَّكَ لَا تُظْلَمْ. You will not be oppressed. فَتُوضَعُ السِّجِلَّاتِ فِي كَفَّةِ وَالْبِطَاقَ فِي كَفَّةِ. On one side of the scale, those scrolls would be put. The other side of the scale, that card with La ilaha illallah would be put. And which one would outweigh the other? The card with La ilaha illallah would outweigh the other. Subhanallah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The virtue and the blessing of Tawheed of La ilaha illallah. And this hadith reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi. Brothers and sisters, the point being that this is the price of paradise. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. Number two. Many live on earth. They would eat, they would sleep, they would toil, they would go through strife, they would go through tough times, ups and downs. But the intelligent is the one who asks himself, where did I come from? Where am I going? What was my genesis? Where did I start? What's my destiny? Why am I here? I was once nothing. I eventually was a blood clot. I emerged from that semen. I was in the womb of my mother. I was an infant. Before the age of 4 or 5, I had absolutely no memory of my life before that. Can anyone remember their birth? No, subhanAllah. This life cycle, the body eventually grows old and it's unable to sustain that soul until eventually the soul exits. Brothers and sisters, the aqil, the intelligent, asks himself the question, why am I here? What am I here for? Where am I headed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We've not created insan and jinn except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have that parable, for example, these two persons, individuals lost in the desert. They passed by this palace that was decorated and furnished with carpets and gardens and kind clocks and rubies and pearls, mashallah. One of them says, a man made this palace and he furnished it like this. The other guy says to him, you're a fundamentalist, you're a conservative, reacted the second. And he says, in reality, this is the work of nature. The guy says, what do you mean this is the work of nature? He says, well, it was all once very stony. And then the floods came, and the wind and the weather continued working for centuries, and piled the stones one on the other until the walls were ready. And then chance played its role in all of this. The guy asks, what about the carpets? He says, well, you see, wool kept flying from the sheep for centuries and eventually got mixed up with all of the minerals and got dyed and interwoven into a carpet. MashaAllah. And what about the clocks? What about the rubies? What about the bricks? What about all of this? He says, well, you see, iron continued to be weathered until it was shaped into circular pieces and ultimately it got its present shape. SubhanAllah. Would you believe that individual? Would somebody say that this man is aqil, this man is intelligent? Allahu musta'an. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state in the noble Quran? Am khuliqu min ghayri shay am humul khaliqun? Were they created from nothing or did they themselves create? Did they create themselves? Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. Every one of the Rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came to earth with the one message, the message of La ilaha illallah. The legislation and the fiqh, as we call it, might have differed. They might have had different laws. But as for the matter of that fundamental belief, that belief in La ilaha illallah, it was the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran that we've not sent the messengers. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We've sent amongst every ummah, the rusul, the messengers. What was their advice? What was their call? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and stay away from false deities. Brothers and sisters, part of La ilaha illallah is that we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His orders. And we abstain from His prohibitions. We are insan, no doubt. We fall into error. We fall into sin. Who does not sin from amongst us? Every single one. Our Rasul, our Habib, Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every one of the children of Adam, they fall into sin. But the best of those who sin are who, brothers and sisters? The less sin they are, those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Every one of our sins. In fact, do we enjoy the sin? Many of the sins, yes, you've enjoyed it. 5 months later, do you still feel that enjoyment of that sin? 10 days later, can you still experience the joy of that sin? No, it's gone. The enjoyment has left you. But what it leaves behind are the traces of regret, the traces of bitterness, subhanAllah. And tawbah wipes away all of that. Turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His forgiveness wipes away all of that. So La ilaha illallah is the price of paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our souls with La ilaha illallah upon our tongues. We also stated that the message of every Rasul was La ilaha illallah. They might have differed in their fiqh, but they were united in La ilaha illallah. And brothers and sisters, the author talks and discusses certain verses dealing with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say La ilaha illallah, affirming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Affirmation. Then we move on to negation, and we negate any other true deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there other deities around? Yes, there are many. People worship isms and schisms and idols and all of these things. But true deity worthy of worship, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final of those prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author mentions, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Rasul gives you, take it. Whatever he prohibits you, stay away from it. That's a proof that we are bound by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we say sunnah, we mean the way and the manner and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within that, you have some of it which is an obligation, some of them which are on the recommended level, some of them, for example, like using of the siwak, the miswak, whatever you want to call it, recommendation. Other matters are on the level of obligation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own doing. Rather, when he speaks out of inspiration, wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author moves on to the conditions of La ilaha illallah, so that it's not mere lip service. Husband doesn't do anything to show his love for his wife. In fact, he does the opposite. But every morning, afternoon and evening, he says to her, I love you. What would she say? You in reality are not showing that you love me. It's mere lip service upon your tongue. It means nothing. It is an empty slogan. La ilaha illallah cannot be an empty slogan. One has to have knowledge. One has to have certainty in the matter. One has to accept. One has to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conditions listed in your notes. Brothers and sisters, remember, there are many matters in the deen of al-Islam that we will understand. The wisdom is rather apparent, walhamdulillah. And there are other matters where in reality it might be a bit difficult to digest. The wisdom is not so apparent. But remember, we are finite beings. We are finite beings. And our senses at times can deceive us. You're in the desert and you look, it looks like water. In reality, it's a mirage. You take a pen, you put it in water, it looks as if it's broken. But in reality, that's your senses deceiving you. The pen is still straight. It's not broken. Our senses have deceived us. For example, the individual, he's in some sort of cell. And there's just a few peepholes there. All he can see through one peephole is a mountain, mashallah. And he sees the sky which is blue and in the evening dark black. He sees on the other peephole, he can see this lush garden. The other peephole, he can see a river. This individual, that's all that he can see. In between the peepholes, he does not know what's there. The vast array of landmass, he has no idea about it. The forests, the jungles, the ocean, unknown to him. Is it part of intelligence for him to deny that which he cannot see? Is it justified for the one who is blind for him to deny the color green? He's not seen it. You describe to him the pastures and it's nice and green. He's not seen it. Would it be intelligent? Would it be justified for him to deny the color green? Absolutely not, subhanAllah. The point is that we are finite beings. When we accept La ilaha illallah, when we accept these words and we embrace and we enter into the fold of Al-Islam, just like somebody who's convinced about an association, a company, an organization, he reads the ideological basis behind this association and he wants to be a member. And so he joins, mashallah. Once he joins and he's a fully fledged member, then he has to abide by the constitution of that association. Same with the deen of Al-Islam, brothers and sisters. Not every tiny matter will you be able to figure out the wisdom. Will you be able to rationalize every single thing? No. But if you are convinced with regards to the fundamentals, then alhamdulillah, everything that comes after, we say sami'na wa ata'na. And remember, faith in reality is part and parcel of our fitrah, part and parcel of our innate nature, human instinct. You had that individual who mentions that his family was not very religious. But the day he joined the army and he jumped out of that plane and he was on that parachute, in the parachute, the first thing that came to his mind was, "Oh God, save me. Ya Allah, save me." Where did that come from? You can deny it as much as you want. The materialistic world that we live in, your sin, your greed, your enmity, your hatred, all of these matters, yes, they cloud your judgment. But at the end of the day, that intrinsic reality, innate nature, that fitrah is still there, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. You have, for example, Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Once an individual said to him, "Oh Didat, what if you die and you realize that the hereafter was all but a lie? How would you regret?" How did Sheikh Didat, rahimahullah, respond? He said that, "My regret would not be as much as your regret if you die and you find out that it was true." Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. The price of paradise. There's a lot more to discuss with regards to this. But as stated, this is a super summarized course, inshallah. The author moves on to lesson number 2, inshallah. And he discusses Surah Al-Fatiha, then Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah An-Nas. He gives the Arabic and he gives the English translation. Quickly, the names with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha. It has many names. It's called Fatiha Al-Kitab. Al-Kitab, the mother of the book. Al-Quran, the mother of the Quran. Why is it called the mother of the Quran? Because in Surah Al-Fatiha, you find the summary of the entire Quran. Plus minus 20 names. It has, as Imam As-Suyuti rahimahullah has stated, and the Arabs would name something with many names only if it was great. And the surah is the greatest surah in the noble Quran. Minimum we recite it 17 times a day in our salah. Subhanallah, it must really be super important. Allah wants us to recite it in every single rak'ah in our prayers, subhanallah. It's the greatest surah in the noble Quran as per the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. We find certain ahadith that some of the sahaba, they used it as ruqya. There was this man who was ill and they recited Surah Al-Fatiha over him with the intention of curing him, and the man was cured, walhamdulillah. So anyone ill in the family, you yourself, you are ill, recite Surah Al-Fatiha and blow over the area that you are finding this pain. Brothers and sisters, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, "La salah liman lam yaqra' bi Fatihatil Kitab." There is no salah for the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Then the scholars debate, what happens if you are praying Salatul Jama'ah? The imam is reciting, do you recite behind him? There's a lot of debate amongst the ulama with regards to this. Some of them have stated that in the silent prayers you recite, and in the prayers where you are listening to the imam is reciting aloud, then there you listen to his recitation. And that's the middle opinion of many of the scholars, and that's what we would advise the new Muslim, walhamdulillah. Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim part of Surah Al-Fatiha? Some scholars say yes. That's why, for example, you would find the Shafi'is, when the imam begins his recitation, he recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He starts off like that. And the imams begin with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What's the root of the debate? Whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of Surah Al-Fatiha or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise due to Allah. When we sneeze, we say Alhamdulillah. When we see something good, we say Alhamdulillah. When we experience tough times, we say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Upon all circumstances, Alhamdulillah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, the owner of the day of resurrection. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Only you do we worship. In only you do we seek assistance from. Brothers and sisters, as some ulama said, this verse is the secret of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's the middle verse of Fatiha. It's the secret of Fatiha. Why? Iyaka na'budu. Only you do we worship. And only from you do we seek assistance. The matter of Tawheed. The matter of Tawheed, subhanAllah. And look at the verse. Iyaka na'bud. We worship you. And only from you do we seek help. The individual praying on his own, he still uses the plural. Why? Because he's not alone. Because every other ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with him. Is with him in this belief. Walhamdulillah. So we remember the ummah even in that verse. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. And keep us away from the path of those مغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Those who your anger has fallen upon them and those who have gone astray. Surah Al-Fatiha in reality is like a dua. That's why we say Ameen after it. Look at this. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To keep us away from those and being part and parcel of those who Allah's anger has fallen upon them. Those who had knowledge and did not practice, Allah's anger fell upon them. And those who were misguided, they were juhal, they did not even have the knowledge. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, as has been said, the roots of misguidance are two. One, because of lack of knowledge. So the individual's ignorance, and they do whatever they do upon misguidance, they end up because they had no knowledge. And the second reason for misguidance is non-implementation of the knowledge that you have. You know it, mashallah. You have the knowledge, walhamdulillah. But the issue is the practice upon that knowledge. Allahu musta'an. That's a summary with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha, greatest surah in the noble Quran. And then Surah Al-Ikhlas. The surah of ikhlas, sincerity, tawheed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah we all know equates one third of the noble Quran. You read it once, you get the reward of reciting one third of the noble Quran, insha'Allah. Take note. Why one third? Some ulama has stated, because if you divide the noble Quran, you will find that one third of the Quran deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almost every second verse ends with a description related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His beautiful names and His beautiful attributes. One third of the Quran. One third of the Quran dealing with the matters of ahkam, law, legislation, fiqh. And one third of the Quran dealing with the matters of the hereafter. And Surah Al-Ikhlas covers the matters dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say He is one. Ahad. That's what Bilal radiallahu anhu was saying when he was held on his back there by his master with the rock on his chest. Ahad, Ahad. And Bilal continued. And what did he say? If I knew words which would irritate my master more, I would have mentioned those words. But Ahad, Ahad was doing good enough of a job, subhanAllah. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Say Allah is one. Allahu Samad. Allah is the one who everything, every creature turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides, the one who creates, the one who gives, the one who holds back, the one who sends the rain, the one who is ala kulli shay'in qadir, over all matters powerful, subhanallah. Lam yalid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begets not, nor was He begotten. Some came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us about the lineage of your Lord, father, this, that, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. We don't have a lineage with regards to our Lord. Allah musta'an. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And Allah is not like the creatures. Allah is not like His creation. He is the Khaliq. And creation is different from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Brothers and sisters, these two surahs are super powerful surahs. Super powerful surahs. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was affected with some black magic, these two surahs were revealed as the cure for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He advised Uqba ibn Amir to recite these two surahs, these two chapters, Falaq and An-Nas, after every single salah. He also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to recite them before going to sleep, and he would blow into his palms and rub his palms upon his entire body. Subhanallah. And he was the best man who walked the face of this earth. He was the Rasul of Allah. And if he did that, what about ourselves? If he required protection, what about ourselves? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of daybreak. Because with the daybreak, the forces of darkness go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the falaq, the day, and this peace and serenity, insha'Allah, during the day. Forces, even when we speak, we talk like this. The forces of what? The forces of darkness. They lurk in the shadows. From the evil of what Allah has created, and from the evil of the darkness when it is covering, the forces of darkness, thieves, criminals, black magicians, whoever, whatever category it might be. مِن شَرِّ النَّفَّثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of the witchcrafts, the sorcerers, the soothsayers, when they blow onto the knots. Why do they use these knots, these magicians? Because they try to cause blockages in your life. Unable to fall pregnant. You tried this business 100 times, it's not working out. Sometimes it could just be that you do not have business acumen. And maybe that, for example, there's a blockage somewhere. Maybe, for example, there's some evil forces at work. Allah musta'an. Min sharri naffathati fil uqad. They blow onto these knots. Symbolism here because they want to cause a blockage in your life. Falaq and An-Nas have 11 verses. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they had found that piece of black magic which was used to cast the spell upon him, there were 11 knots in it. He recited these verses and he blew over it and they undid one after the other. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. Jealousy, hasad is like poison. You are the one who drinks it and you hope that the next person dies. Allah musta'an. In reality, you are the one living in misery. Look at what they have. They're going for Hajj again. They have another child. They bought another car. Look at how handsome. Look at how beautiful. You kill yourself. Allah musta'an. And some do not end there. They move further and then they implement their harm. They put into action their harm. They try to harm the individual. Try to remove that bounty from them. Allah musta'an. We seek Allah's protection from the hasad, from the one who is jealous, when they implement and put into practice their jealousy. Surah An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Say, I seek protection in the Lord of mankind. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the king of mankind. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the Lord, the ilah of mankind. From what? From what? مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the waswas, the whisperer, the one who entices, the one who tempts. Could be your friend, could be your own nafs, could be shaitan, could be the devil, tempts you. وَمِن شَرِّ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. And this one who tempts you, entices you, lurks in the shadows. They're not open there. They come to you and they say, you know what Ahmed said about you. You heard what this guy said about you. You heard what Sumayya said about you. Don't mention that I said such and such. Keep it just between us. Don't tell them that I told you this. Allah musta'an. These people in reality carrying tales and they want to be khannas. They want to be in the shadows. Allah musta'an. They want to withdraw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. They whisper into your chests. From who? From the jinn and from mankind. You have these ones who tempt you, who entice you, who give you these whispers. They call you towards that which is incorrect, that which is wrong. Seek Allah's protection from these people and from the evil that they have within them. Allah musta'an. Lastly, brothers and sisters, lesson number 3. The 5 pillars of Al-Islam. The first one being to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final last prophet. That's the first pillar of Al-Islam. These are the pillars, subhanAllah. Bedouin had come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about Islam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him this. Somebody asks you, oh Ahmed Ilyas, you know, tell me about Islam. Could you explain it to them in 5 minutes? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did that. Would you require 5 days, 10 days, 20 days? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Jibreel came in the form of that man and he asked him what is Islam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to him the 5 pillars of Islam. Then he asks, what is faith? What is Iman? The 6 pillars of Iman was mentioned. And then he asks about Ihsan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned likewise. Simple, subhanAllah. The beauty of al-Islam, that the individual who wants simplicity will find it. And the individual who wants to spend 4 years, 5 years doing his doctorate's thesis with regards to a fine-tuned matter in Tahara, he will find enough of resources. He will find encyclopedias available at his fingertips for him to go head first into all of that works to satisfy himself, subhanAllah. If you want simplicity, you'll find it. If you want intricacy, if you want that deep, super deep knowledge, you'll also find that available for you, walhamdulillah. Second pillar of al-Islam, that to pray 5 times a day. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, brothers and sisters, he's at the age of 63. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. He begins taking wudu, falls down unconscious. He comes around, he says, has the time of salah come in? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. Begins taking wudu, falls down unconscious. Third time, has the time of salah come in? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. Begins taking wudu, falls down unconscious. Then eventually he says to them when he came around, tell Bilal to give the adhan and tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. He still wanted to go to the masjid. He still, subhanAllah, at that age, at that time, in that illness, the matter of salah, paramount importance. عَامَّةُ وَصِيَّةِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ كَانَتْ الصَّلَاةِ Anas, servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, says, the general advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on his deathbed was what? Was الصَّلَاةِ, the prayer, the prayer. Your father on his deathbed would mention the most important matters. Your mother, her last few breaths, she will mention the most important matters. Our Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, the same, subhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, Umar was in the masjid and he was attacked. He's bleeding, he was taken home. When he regained consciousness, they said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, technically you've not prayed Salatul Fajr as yet. And so what did he say? Yes, there's no shay in Islam for the one who does not pray, subhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, the matter of salah, paramount importance. It's the only pillar in the deen that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam received, not while he was on earth, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken him on that journey. And lastly, on salah, originally Allah wanted us to pray 50 times a day. Not because it would have been a burden, but rather because Allah loves this act so much. Allah wanted us to spend so much of our time during the day in salah. The closest you are to Allah is when you are in sujood. فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَى So increase your dua, invocation, supplication to Allah when you are in sujood. SubhanAllah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Keeps you away from lewdness, keeps you away from that which is vile, sin, evil. What keeps you away from it? The matter of salah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that salah performed in the correct manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst people of the salah. May Allah make us from amongst the musalleen. The third pillar of al-Islam, zakah. We pay zakah 2.5% of our zakatable assets. Not all your assets are zakatable, brother. Your cell phone, your watch, your house, your car, they are not zakatable. There are specific zakatable assets. That's what we have to take out 2.5% and pay as zakah. This is an obligation. It's a pillar of the deen, walhamdulillah. And in reality, it's the right of the poor over your wealth. It's the right, it's the haq of the poor over your wealth. Once your cycle, yearly cycle is up, technically it ceases to be your wealth. It's now their wealth. Number 4, to fast the month of Ramadan. Number 5, to perform the Hajj once in your lifetime, if possible, if you have the ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. Brothers and sisters, ending off, we state that Islam means submission. Islam does not mean peace. Yes, with submission comes peace, no doubt about that. But Islam is istislam, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that there, that's paramount importance. This one, that one, this individual, that ism, that schism, etc., it has its place, no problem. But of paramount importance, overarching default, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us live upon Islam and die upon Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul of mankind, the one who was sent to all men, what did he do? When he was in his sajda, he would make dua, O Allah, ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, make my heart firm upon the deen. We will slip, brothers and sisters, we will fall down, we'll go down the hill, but bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will wake up again. We will wake up again, we will stand up. We will never, never ever give up. Kullu bani Adam khata. Every one of us are sinners. We fall into error. We fall into ghibah and namima and backbiting and all of these things, subhanAllah. Insan is weak. Insan is weak. But we know that we have a Rabb who is Ghaffar, who is Ghafoor, who is Rahman, who is Rahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.